What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of She, Her, They. I'm your host, Lauren, but everyone calls me Kittens. This week, I'm really excited to have my friend Sid as my guest. You might know her from Odd Future, her amazing band, The Internet, or just her own incredible solo projects. She's a super talented singer, songwriter, producer, and honestly, one of the sweetest, most chill people I know. So I'm really, really excited to have her, especially because she doesn't really talk about this kind of stuff in interviews very often. So I'm just very grateful. We're going to get into where she gets her musical inspiration from, how to give yourself freedom to explore your identity and interests, and how she came to terms with who she is as a queer woman and as an artist. Just a reminder that since language around identity is very nuanced and ever-evolving, some terms here may become outdated. This is meant to be a safe and inclusive space, so I'm going to do my best to constantly learn and stay on top of changes. We can just jump right the fuck into it. Let's do that. Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself for everybody? Welcome. Hi.
Hi, I'm Sid.
Hi.
Friend of Lauren's. And I am a musician.
Yes, you are. Sure, everybody already knows, but Sid is from The Internet and also has project and sings and fucking talented songwriter, all of that, beat maker, producer, blah blah blah,
thank you, etc.
It's always so funny, like, doing these things. I'm like talking to my friends, but I'm like, I have to do, like, official, you know, interview vibes, but I'm so excited to have you because, I mean, I feel like out of so many of the, out of so many of the people that, you know, are on, like, all these playlists and that people know are, like, of a certain lifestyle, like, you've just been consistently one of the most loved and celebrated people in the community, and, you know, your music really transcends, like, every circle of like people, you know. So I'm really happy to have you. And, yeah, of course I had to. I mean, the whole reason we're here is because I have this playlist. It's called She, Her, They, and it features all LGBTQ plus non-binary femme women identified, and I just, yeah, I just wanted to have a nice little place where people could discover artists that are maybe of the same identity as them and, you know, listen to some of their favorites and get to know them a little better as people and as artists.
Yeah.
Here we are.
That's awesome. I think they need light shed. You know, we all need light shed on us because there are so many boxes that we're kind of excluded from by default. So,
Do you feel like, actually, before we, like, move forward, how do you identify, like, pronoun wise? Do you have any, like, labels you prescribe to?
I guess she, her. I'm still learning about the pronouns and stuff, but I've always identified as a female.
Cool. So do you feel like, I mean, you've been making music for a really, really long time, but for anyone who doesn't know, can you just give a little background on, like, how you got started with making music?
I got started making music kind of on accident. I grew up playing, like, instruments and taking lessons and stuff. But in high school, my dad got this laptop for school. It happened to be, like, a MacBook Pro, and I had GarageBand on it. And I was just like, whoa, this is cool. Mm-hmm. And I just started messing around with it. And then next thing you know, I was trying to build a studio and record all these local artists and stuff. And it actually kind of picked up. I started recording Odd Future, all the members of Odd Future, and then We started to gain some attention, and through them, I got my first record deal. And with that, I started a band with my best friend, Matt, who's also a member of Our Future. Notice the internet, that's our band. Now I'm here.
Do you feel like you had a kind of moment like where you came to terms with wanting to go the route of having a career in music in a similar way to like when we come out, like we have to kind of face what we want to present to the world as who we are and like what path we're going to go down in our love lives and lifestyle and all that. So did you have a similar kind of moment where you had to be like, this is what I want to do? And did you have trouble, not necessarily trouble, but like, did you have to have a creative and artistic coming out?
It was similar, actually. It was similar to my coming out experience, and that growing up, me and everybody around me thought that I'd end up playing basketball. And so in high school, when I stopped kind of playing basketball, I was kind of falling out of love with that, and then also falling in love with music in a different way. I'd always loved music, but I got that laptop and I was able to make it. I didn't have to think about how it was made anymore. It was kind of just like opened my eyes to that. And so there was kind of a somewhat pivotal moment when I quit playing basketball and I was like totally okay with it because I had music. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I hadn't thought about doing music as a career, quitting basketball would have been like, okay, now what?
Right.
So like my coming out experience was kind of similar. I found myself attracted to girls in high school, and it was kind of a moment where I was like, is this what it is? Like, is this what it's going to be? Like, and I had to spend a little bit of time with that, with wondering if that was just, if that was a phase, wondering if it tied into some of my earlier childhood crushes, all of that. And then one day I was just like, yep, that's what it is. Okay, cool. Whatever.
Was your family cool with like both of your coming outs, like with the artistic pursuits and the loved ones? Were they cool?
Yeah. I was lucky in that. My parents, when I was playing basketball, they were super supportive. They had signed me up and put me in all these basketball programs and camps and teams and stuff. And same with music. As a kid, I told them I wanted to play piano. They signed me up for piano lessons. I wanted to play drums. They signed me up for drum lessons. So they were down to support whatever. And when I came out, they didn't really care about it that much. You know, it took a while for my mom to get used to like how I wanted to dress once I got comfortable with wanting to dress that way. But other than that, they were very supportive.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's such a thing where moms are like, they really hold on to that idea of their little girl.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I get it. We're kind of like little dolls to them in some way. Like, wait, but no.
Totally, totally. They're like, well, but you don't like this dress? And I'm like, it's cool. Like,
I remember at one point, like in high school, because I used to work in the mall. And I worked at a Macy's doing like makeup at one of the makeup counters. So I was right next to all the perfumes and colognes. And I love the way men's cologne smells more than women's perfume. It's just, I don't know, it felt like musky and spicy. I ended up buying this Dolce & Gabbana one and brought it home. And my mom, like I was wearing it. My mom's like, Lauren, you're not going to go butch, are you? And I was like, you're really worried about that because I'm wearing it. But that's funny. But that's great. That's such a blessing. I mean, you know, having your parents' support in like any direction you want to go in life is such a
key. Anything. Yeah. Just changes everything. Makes you feel like you can do anything.
For sure. Did you come out before or after you started making music?
Actually around the same time, a little bit after I started making music. And I remember that because my first studio was in my room. Mm-hmm. And then I moved it when I was like 16. I got to move my studio to my guest house, my parents' guest house. And I remember like, that's where I had my first like sexual experience with a girl, another girl. And that's the first time a girl ever flirted with me too was in there. Oh. And that's when I started being like, hold on, do I like this? Like, so yeah, it was a little bit after I started making music.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. I love like reminiscing on those first moments, and you look back and you're like, oh my God, that was such a big deal.
But yeah, it really was.
Did you notice like a difference in your creative process or your music or whatever you were doing after you came out and kind of came to terms with who you were and who you loved?
No, I mean, not really. I think the first song I ever wrote was about a boy. And then the second song I ever wrote was about a girl, and they were very different.
How so?
Well, the first one was like really like I don't know what to do, and the second one was like a sex song. So they were different in that way, I guess. Maybe the second one was more confident. Yes. So maybe confidence. I got.
Yeah, I noticed such a difference with people in how they present themselves, whether how they're like dressing or interacting with people, their personalities, their art, everything. There's such a like major difference between when they're like not sure who they are yet and it's like you finally realize who you really are and you're like okay with it and sitting in that, or maybe you're not okay with it but you're like facing it and working through it. Mm-hmm. And there's just such a different type of like authenticity and I don't know, like chillness in knowing who you are. And it really translates to feel like people are louder sometimes, or they're like they dress more outgoing, or they dress like they cut their hair some crazy way, and they're just like, "This is me."
Yeah. I mean, that's you get excited, you feel free, and you feel kind of safe. That's when you really get to explore. It's when you really get to experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like if you heard music with more like same-sex love content pronoun action happening when you were younger, that you would have kind of like come to terms with or realized what you liked or who you were, like maybe this wasn't just my best friend, maybe I actually had a crush on them, like would you have realized this sooner? And do you feel like that has value and part of maybe why you use same-sex pronouns in your songs? Like you sing about women, that's who you love.
Yeah, I mean, it probably would have I mean, I feel like seeing it in real life would have done more.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I mean, we had women in music who kind of gave you the impression that they were maybe gay, but then wouldn't. They'd be talking about men in the music, and it was kind of, you know, so you thought that like it was okay to be a tomboy and still like boys, but you never even thought about the option really that like you could be a tomboy and like girls, women, yeah, or whatever. So it probably would have changed a lot, like if some of those artists maybe, or anybody, could have been, you know, like a more feminine woman singing about women, it would have just been like eye-opening. not just for me and kids, but like for everybody, like it would have normalized it.
Totally.
And so I probably, you know, would have rather than crying about it when I thought I was gay, you know what I mean? Like rather than crying about it out of fear, you know, like, oh shit, like this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been as big of a deal.
You'd have just been like, oh, I'm just like Queen Latifah or
whoever. Yeah.
Whoever else like was kind of just hiding in the closet for all of the 90s.
I'm sure there were a lot of women.
Oh no.
And like I can't quite blame them because
different times.
The world is barely ready now.
Yeah.
I think hearing women sing about women growing up would have probably changed things because it just would have normalized it. I think that's the goal right now anyways, to just kind of normalize it so that it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You're not coming out crying because it's so crazy and nobody talks about it. Like it could just be a regular thing.
Right. It's really interesting right now because I feel like there's so many like queer women and it's so dope to see because there's like way less barriers to entry and much more support in the community. And so many of them, I feel like before, it could have been, or for like LGBT artists, it could have been kind of seen as a gimmick to come out and be gay. And then all your music had to be about being gay. And it's like, there's so many now that are just writing their music and it just happens to be about, you know, gay shit because that's just what life is about. And it's nice to see so much more representation of like people from all different walks of life, all over the world, all different like races, classes, gender, socioeconomic statuses, like everyone just making music and representing so many different groups and helping normalize shit. It's a beautiful time. Do you feel pressure to create art that sounds or looks a certain way? And how do you fight that pressure? And that could be from like, you know, management label side or from yourself, just like reflecting in the world, thinking you need to do things a certain way.
Thankfully, no, I don't get too much pressure from management, label, or anybody. If anything, I put more pressure on myself to just get the work done. And then sometimes if I'm really, really into something, like really into some new music that inspires me a lot, then every so often I'll find myself like trying to, I guess that's the little bit of the pressure is trying to sound like your influences sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or not necessarily trying to sound like them, but trying to be able to do this thing that they do sometimes on this song because that would be tight. You know what I mean? So every so often, you know, I'll pressure myself to kind of sing in a way that I don't really sing naturally. But other than that, like I'm very, very lucky to have always had a lot of creative control. So the pressure, I kind of just, you know, as long as it comes out sounding good.
Yeah. Who are some of your like biggest influences that you pull from or try to sound like sometimes?
Stevie Wonder, D'Angelo, Brandy. Just depends on the day and the song, I guess. Sometimes I'll be like, ooh, like a Brandy type run would be crazy right here. Can I do it though? I don't know. And then I just drive myself crazy trying to do it. Stuff like that.
Yeah. So where do you, outside of like sonic influences, because, you know, that's what you just said, where do you get most of your like lyrical influence? And is it more love-based? Like, how does heartbreak and love and all that stuff influence your music?
Immensely. I pretty much pull all of my, like, lyrics, song ideas from real experiences. Sometimes I'll take an experience and just throw some shit in there just to make it interesting. But for the most part, like, if you name a song, I can be like, oh yeah, I wrote that about so-and-so. which is cool. I don't know. It makes it easier, for sure. I find it easier to write about things that actually happen.
Do you write things more in the moment as a kind of like cathartic thing, or is it just like you're like, I need to write a song today, and you'll go through all your like past life experiences to pull for inspiration?
Yeah, like the latter. Like typically when I'm going through something, I can't write. Mm-hmm. I can't really write. Maybe like as I'm grieving, I can maybe write, but then I can't really record. It's usually not till I'm completely over the situation that I'm able to like really write about it well. Mm-hmm. I don't know, especially because then I can throw some optimism in the bridge or something, you know what I mean? Where like you can make the whole first two verses in hook just real sad, but on the bridge you can be like, but but I know I'm gonna be all right. It's like, because you know that now. Right. But if you're still in the middle of like,
it's kind of the world is ending and there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
No hope inside.
Do you feel free to like, I guess, just be yourself when it comes to music or how you present in the world and your identity? And do you have any major insecurities that you kind of grapple with? And if so, how do you handle those? Any little like techniques? Well,
I mean, I feel pretty comfortable to be myself. As far as insecurities go, maybe, I don't know. I think over the past couple years, I've become a lot more aware that I'm gay. You know, and just in the fact that, like, in the fact that that's how some people see me. You know what I mean? Like, whereas, like, I go about my life, like, I don't really treat my sexual orientation as a lifestyle.
Right.
And so I don't think about it that often. I don't consider myself a lesbian artist or a gay artist, but there are people who do. And so
it's just part of who you are. Like, but it's not your main identifier.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's just a preference, and it could change. Like sexuality is fluid. Like one day I could want to date men, and my fans will probably be like, "What?" But you know, but like,
yeah,
you know, I feel pretty free. And I feel like that's a blessing. I didn't always feel that way, So I'm glad to feel that way now.
Do you feel like there's any things that happen in your life or moments or like things you've learned to do to manage those times when you didn't feel comfortable in your skin or free to just be yourself?
Sometimes you have to try shit. Like one of my biggest insecurities, outside of just my like awareness of how I fit into the world, it was just like something basic like my skin. Like I struggled with my acne for a super long time, and that was one of those things where like you can accept it, but you can also try to be fixing it at the same time. Mm-hmm. If that's what you want to do, like if you feel like I'm not meant to have acne, like, you know, that there are things you can kind of do to change whatever you're not feeling with. And even with identity, like, I think we've all tried on a few different types of hats. Just trying to find what we fit in the most, what makes us the most comfortable. And what feels more like us. And there are going to be things that felt like you at that time, and but I still settled back into these flannels, you know. So
yeah,
you have to, it's trial and error. You kind of have to try some things out. Mm-hmm. Why not? Because we have one life, might as well try everything.
Yeah, I think that's something that I've noticed so much with like the younger generation is there's so much more forgiveness for people to experiment and be fluid and evolve. And I feel like in so many of the older generations, including ours, there's always this kind of pressure to pick one thing, fit in the box, pick this life, pick that path, that's it. And like, if you dare like veer any other way, there's all this fucking drama about it.
Yeah.
It's just not human to pick one thing and be that forever. Some people are cool, but like, it's so nice now that there's so much more openness and accepting of fluidity across the board, whether it's how you want to dress or who you love or whatever.
Totally. I mean, I think social media helps with that because we're exposed to so many different kinds of people online. Mm-hmm. And exposure makes things less scary or less strange or less weird or less abnormal. It normalizes all of this stuff. Okay. Normalizes how people want to be and who people are and that. For that, I'll always love social media. For that.
Yeah, it's nice to have like access to different communities that maybe you didn't even know existed and find yourself in that. Like, I don't, do you go on TikTok at all? Are you up on TikTok?
No, I don't have one. I downloaded it a few months ago, but I couldn't figure out how to use it. I felt so old. Like, damn.
It definitely makes you feel fucking old because everyone on there is 12. But
yeah.
But it's so cool because like I just stumbled across like this whole huge like gay girl realm in there that's so active. And it's like, man, there's so many, and they're actually clever as fuck. Like they all have these funny little like memes and shit they do, and it's so funny. And seeing that, like, people are meeting up and like dating through that. So it's like a little gay dating app for them, and you know, groups of friends from all over the world meeting up. And it's so cool seeing communities being like nurtured and formed just from new platforms.
Oh yeah, I gotta check that out. That might give me a reason to hop on TikTok.
Yeah, I'll send you some funny ones.
I'm just like, all right, cool.
Because I like clever as hell. Okay, this is my favorite question. If you could dream of your ideal creation zone, what would it look like? There's no limits on physics or electricity, be on the moon and the ocean, like floating somewhere, whatever.
I'll probably build something very spacious, somewhat empty, a lot of wood, surrounded by like trees, would be fire. With a lot of natural light, like I love a lot of windows. Not all windows, because it'd be cool to hang some art maybe, but like a lot of natural light. I really like natural light. With like just all kinds of instruments. It'd be tight to have like almost like a warehouse type space, and I could just like paint. Just throw paint around, like splatter paint around.
Do you paint?
Maybe like, no. I don't because, you know, just because it's like, honestly, I painted for like the first time, like last year. And it was dope out here, right out here on my patio. It was dope. It was just like nice, just like, taking a blob of paint and just like putting it on something and just like writing. it was super dope. But I did it with a couple friends. So, like, I think, I don't know, like, having a space, having a big concrete space where you don't have to worry about, I don't know, furniture getting some paint on the floor, that would be dope. Just something where, even somewhere I could have, like, a huge food fight. Like the idea of that, like just have like a big ass indoor kind of like space that you could just literally hose down. That would be super cool. Attached to like a studio, of course, like all wood, big piano, and you know, just amps, big ass speakers. A lot of natural light. A lot of studios don't have, like, you know, windows.
I hate that. I never understood the appeal of that. Like why do you be in some cave where you just can't feel anything?
And you don't know what time it is. I think that's why people like it. But, like, I'd prefer to be in bed by now. So I don't want to lose track of time like that.
Yeah. Do you remember your first same-sex crush? Could have been a TV character, movie, whatever.
In elementary school. It was a teacher's aide, a TA, and she just kind of, I don't know. The Spice Girls were really popular back then at that time. So this was like first grade maybe or kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And she just reminded me of a Spice Girl.
Which one?
So I really liked her.
Which Spice Girl did she remind you of?
I didn't even know any of the Spice Girls. She just gave me that vibe. I just used to like, I had no idea. But I remember.
Did she wear platforms or was she British?
Yeah, she wore platforms. Okay. Yeah, no, she just had the little Spice Girls, like, early to late 90s vibe, you know? I remember it being a crush because I had a dream about it that I never forgot about. I had a dream that, like, we got married. Aww. Yeah, I was real little. It wasn't like I didn't dream about the wedding. I just dreamed about like us living together as a married couple.
Cute.
It's very big. Yeah. But he's not what I would be attracted to now. It's very different.
Interesting.
And then after that, I had crushes on boys after that for a while. So.
That's such an interesting thing that I feel like people don't talk about as much as like compulsory heterosexuality. It's like when we grow up and like everything around us is telling us like, oh, you're a girl, you're supposed to like boys, period.
Yeah.
And so you just like do. And so you grow up enough to realize like, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been that. Like, I think about it now and I wonder, like, did I really like these boys or did I want to be like these boys? Mm-hmm. Did I really like those girls or did I want to be like those girls? I definitely think about that. But I don't think I really ever dreamed about or like had imagined myself like marrying a dude.
That's an interesting point for sure, because I feel like we only really talk about sexuality as being something that we're actively aware of when we're older, but that could totally be a thing where when kids were younger, they were into boys, and then that just changes as they grow up for whatever reason, whether it's societal pressure or just who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like if the world were able to just kind of see the fluidity of it as being normal and okay, then we wouldn't feel the need to, like, stay true to your sexual orientation forever. Like, I'm a lesbian now, but like I don't doubt that I could be straight one day or be bisexual one day. And when you're okay with that, I don't know, it's dope, you know, it's freeing.
So it's like you're being who you are because that's just true to who you are in that moment, and that doesn't have to be, you don't have to make a commitment to your identity for like your entire lifetime. It's just silly.
Totally. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many there's not a lot of women this happens to, but I think I've seen this a lot where there's women who had been with women for a really long time and then they end up with a dude and everyone just like turns against them, like, oh my god, you're a traitor, like,
yeah, or like, what, so were you not a lesbian? It's like, I could have totally been a lesbian for those years, like, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it sucks because we come up in a society where you're supposed to find someone and be with that person forever. If you change your sexual orientation, then you can't be, you know, like, then what does that mean for that relationship? You know, so I think that's where it really, it gets tricky.
Yeah. Because some people are, like, for sure closeted for mad long. Like, there's people that come out way later in life, or, like, maybe they've been married to, you know, a dude for a long time, and they realize when they're 45 that they're gay.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, there just needs to be room for people to evolve and shift and be themselves, be their most authentic selves in whatever moment that they're in, and not feel bad about it. Like,
yeah, not feel shame. We tend to shame people. It goes both ways. Dude. People get shamed becoming deciding to live as a lesbian, whether they've always been or not. People get shamed for that, and then they get shamed if they decide to go back. It's like, yeah, it just, you know, people don't like change, I guess.
Yeah. It's so interesting, though, to see, like, we know how shitty it feels to not be accepted for who we are and how people judge us and shame us for, like, being gay. So why are you going to do that to somebody who ends up falling for someone of the opposite sex? Like, what?
Yeah.
Why are you doing shit? You know how bad it feels. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, if love really wins, then, like, let it win.
Like, let it win in all forms. I mean, we just live in such a binary society. Everything is like this or that, and it's like, it doesn't need to be this or that. It could be all these other fucking options, and they're all valid and cool, and just like, don't be so pressed about it.
Oh yeah.
Well, I feel like that is a lovely note to leave it on. Just people feel good being themselves.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Do you?
That's all that matters. Fuck everything else.
But thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for chatting.
Of course, anytime.
Thanks so much for tuning into She Her They. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube for video from this episode. Join us at She Her They on Instagram, and if you want to give me a lurk, you can find me across all social media at I Am Kittens. Yes, that's like baby cats with an S at the end. We'll catch you next time.